So, Bruce Kulick of KISS and Grand Funk Railroad, welcome to the Quad Cities.
Hey, it's wonderful to be speaking to you.
Yeah, so this Friday, 4:30, you'll be at Griggs Music, Brady and Kimberly in Davenport. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting backstory on how you got the gig playing guitar for KISS, right?
Obviously, there has to be a story to get into a band like KISS, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fortunate that I grew up in New York, and it's very fortunate, obviously, that my brother happened to have known the guys, and one thing led to another where other people also told them about me. And like my brother, who did some ghost guitar work for KISS, all of a sudden in the summer of 84, Paul Stanley, you know, called me in to help out in the studio and then told me, don't cut your hair. And then all of a sudden I'm filling in for a tour of Europe, and then I'm in the band for 12 years. You know? So it was a very interesting kind of continuation of somehow Kulick's being involved with the KISS band.
Well, and your brother actually auditioned originally, didn't he? Didn't he get beat out by Ace Frehley?
Yeah, apparently he was there the same day as the story goes, and fate didn't have it that Bob would be the original guitarist, but he did get to help out, you know, years down the line, you know, on some of the sessions. You know.
And you were with them for quite a while, but you were never with them during the makeup years, right?
Right. They wound up taking the makeup off about a year before I joined. You know, they unveiled for the whole Lick It Up push.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when MTV was just starting, and that meant something for video to... You know, now with the way we're spoiled with YouTube, of course, you know, it's interesting that was such a big thing. And I was very impressed. I remember, for me, KISS, you know, I knew they had the gimmick of the makeup, and that was, like really powerful, especially when you saw them live.
Right.
To me. But, you know, for me, I was always about the music. So then to see them take it off and see them strutting around doing Lick It Up and All Hell's Breaking Loose on MTV, I was kind of like, whoa, this is cool. You know, and again, I didn't know I'd get the call to actually, you know, be their lead guitarist and all, but I was still very aware of the, the fact that they just seemed to know how to be a powerful band, makeup or not.
But did you always wish, gee, I wish I'd been in the band when they had makeup?
No.
So what would Bruce Kulick's makeup have been like? What would you have been?
I always joke that I'd be a dog or something. Well, they had the cat, right? Why not a dog?
Sure.
No, I mean, for me, I remember even when I saw David Bowie with the Aladdin Sane album, which was such a great record, you know, Panic in Detroit and a lot of great songs. But he had his face painted or something. I was like, what's that? You know, what's that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was kind of like, I had this weird reaction about it. You know, I love the way the Beatles fooled around with their clothing and everything, but for me, I didn't totally get that. Obviously, when I saw KISS live in 78, it all came together for me, and I was like, this is really cool. But I was never envious, and I never wanted, I always knew I wasn't the original guitarist
right.
in the band, and I miss being in KISS, but I don't miss not having the opportunity to become the spaceman the way Tommy Thayer has.
Right.
He's done a great job at that, but I didn't have to really, you know, recreate exactly what Ace's vibe was for the band. So I'm kind of, you know, glad that I represent my era of non-makeup. And there's a wealth of great material and big album sales through all those years.
So you replaced Mark St. John, who replaced mm-hmm. Vinnie Vincent, who replaced Ace
yeah.
Frehley. Then you yeah. got replaced by Ace Frehley, didn't you?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How did that go down to say, hey, Bruce, we need to have a little chat?
No, you know, we were doing a very successful convention tour. You know, KISS, a big enough band to have actually fans run conventions, and then
right.
all realize, wait a minute, this would be really cool for us to pull out stuff from the warehouse and display, and then we come out and we'll perform. You know, we did stuff like that, limited. It was only like 20 or 21 cities, and MTV caught wind of that. They saw that. They were very impressed with it. They really wanted to film us doing MTV Unplugged, which was a huge deal back then. But they also thought, you know, this would be a real score if we could also do a revisit to a mini reunion, you know, meaning bring out Ace and Peter.
Right.
And then they can play some of their hits with Gene and Paul, and then all six of us, kumbaya, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And play Rock and Roll All Night. And that's exactly how the night went down, and it was quite successful. I was very proud of all the performances. And, of course, it became this, you know, video, and then, of course, a record. But what I wasn't aware of was behind the scenes, MTV asking them to do that also put Peter and Ace in a situation where they could actually finally say to, you know, Paul and Gene, I think there's some offers out there for a reunion. Now is the time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think they realized there were the right offers. So it was a case of them negotiating and figuring out if they could actually do it. Meanwhile, we're in the studio doing Carnival Souls, which was my last record with the band, as a KISS member, and they're actually kind of, you know, negotiating whether or not they can contractually commit to be, you know, the reunion tour. And of course it happened. I was told about in January of, 96 that, they were gonna, you know, put tickets on sale, and you know, they didn't appear in makeup announcing it until like the Grammys, I think in March or that.
Right.
Year. And we were still finishing up Carnival Souls. Why? Because, you know, it was part of the record deal. And what if something happened and one of those guys didn't get along? And, you know, there was still a functioning KISS that
right.
was very talented and successful. So, no, it wasn't something like one day Ace was like, hey, I want my job back. It was more like this opportunity of, you know, a reunion tour. And music like that goes in cycles. Like Star Wars went away for a long time. Then it came back and
sure.
it was very big. And then it goes away again and comes back again, as you know, by the end of this year.
You know, it's funny you bring up the idea of a reunion, though, because now you flash forward to last year when KISS gets inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
A lot of drama around that, right?
Oh, yeah.
About, you know, who's allowed on stage, who isn't allowed on stage. And the main reason KISS didn't perform, as I understand it, is because whoever runs the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame wouldn't let people like you or anyone else, aside from the four originals, play, right?
Right. Exactly.
See, I think it would have been really cool to have the four originals play and then have the rest of you guys join in for a big monster KISS jam session.
It really could have been kind of like the way Unplugged was.
Right.
As soon as the, you know, sound bites would get out from the Hall of Fame to Gene and Paul, especially Paul being very supportive of the 40 years of KISS and
right.
just the first original four. It became, by then, all the missiles were firing, and I was in the bunker, okay? You know, I was hiding, you know. I talked about it with my manager, and he was like, you stay out of all this. And
right.
I did, and I had the time of my life anyway at the Hall of Fame at the Barclays Center, and my name was mentioned, and to me, the light was on the 40 years of KISS. And I really do think if Gene and Paul played it the way the Hall wanted to, as much as I understand some fans would have thought it would have been fun, you know, it would have really been wrong, okay, especially for my era and in addition to all the success that they have with
right.
Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer. And, you know, it's very controversial that they wear their makeup, and that's another, you know, part of this whole conundrum of KISS, but come on. You know, the Hall of Fame, you know, inducts every E Street member with Bruce Springsteen, you know,
right.
and you couldn't say their
name.
All
90 of them.
Yeah, yeah. Grateful Dead, you have a guy who wrote lyrics gets inducted. So it was really, it was completely a bullshit move on the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But, you know, in the end, all the publicity was, I still was very excited that everybody, controversial or not, was talking about KISS, and they were aware of the fact that the band has a long history, and so for that matter, I accepted it.
We're talking with Bruce Kulick, formerly of KISS, now Grand Funk Railroad, an American band. I bet you the crowd goes nuts when you play that song.
That is obviously our show, you know, our finale.
Right.
And they do. I mean, I know we have them on the feet before that, but the point is, that's such a... It comes up like every couple of months, there's something comes up about it, how Don Brewer, the drummer who barely plays guitar,
right.
you know, had a concept for a song and could write that all by himself. and create such an incredible rock anthem. You know, I mean, it was like lightning struck, you know what I mean? And it's always a joy to play it. I'm never tired of it.
So, you know, Kiss, Grand Funk Railroad, both great rock and roll bands, but completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Which style do you prefer, or do you?
Well, for me, in the same way that, when I played with Meatloaf, that's a terrific album, Bat Outta Hell.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoy that music, and it's completely different, again, from either of the groups you just mentioned. I'm just a fan of great rock and roll and classic rock and everything. And Kiss sometimes, you know, look, even for my ear, I'm known for Forever, which is a power ballad,
right,
acoustic solo, to Unholy or you know, God Gave Rock and Roll to You, you know, or Tears Are Falling. And they're all very different styles, you know. I was very aware of Grand Funk, and I was a fan of theirs, and it was a real honor when I got offered to be on that short list to come audition with Don and Mel. And I knew I could fit it in, fit the role,
sure,
you know, play the right guitarist. It's something that I you know, like when a song has the right guitar parts and you can interpret it or still make it your own but not lose the essence of it, that's what makes it work. And that role I can do very well. I did it for Kiss, and I do it for Grand Funk, and all that music's great.
Now, as you mentioned, Grand Funk is playing up in Dubuque this weekend. Yep. It's all part of the big Brew Fest. Beer and rock and roll, man. And yes, you can still win tickets if you go to Q106online.com. Can't wait to see you up there. Tell me about KKB for a minute. This is your original band, right?
Yeah, I've been archiving a lot. And, you know, what's amazing was finally Mike, my friend Mike Katz, who I grew up with in Jackson Heights in Queens, finally found the original tapes to this original music that we recorded back in 1974. And once that happened, I realized, okay, this could be really exciting. We need to do a new song, but let's now take these multi-tracks and clean them up the best we can and mix them properly. Even though the copy I had that I found years earlier was good, I knew we could make this really great. And now it just came out recently, and I'm very excited. There's a whole CD package available on my website. It's on iTunes and everything digital, you know, Amazon, Spotify, everywhere, so you can check it out that way. And what's exciting is that not only is there six vintage songs of my guitar playing with music that's very unique, but very much, to me, it's still current, you know what I mean, which blows my mind. But we did write a new song, and it's the song called Got to Get Back. And that's the one that's, the single from the release. And it turned out to be the title. I wanted to give the album a title, and I thought, well, we're kind of getting back to a time capsule of where we were at when we were very young and innocent, shall I say. I'm quite proud of it. It's really powerful music, and it still holds up now. So on my website, you can read all about it and see the limited edition numbered, you know, package that I'm offering there.
So in addition to this show up in Dubuque this weekend, Friday, you're going to be at Griggs Music, Brady and Kimberly in Davenport, at 4:30, playing some music and answering some questions. Mm-hmm. How'd that come about?
You know, I mean, ironically enough, I've been married a year and a half now, but through my wife, Lisa, I have family in Iowa.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you know, Lisa has a lot of friends that she's hoping will show up there as well, which should be a real, you know, it might be, you know, really mind-blowing for her.
Right.
You know, because I know there's some people that she grew up with that she hasn't really seen in all these years, you know. But her sister married a very talented guitar player, Mark Wagler, who I have jammed with. I sat in with his band when I've been in Iowa before, and he's like the guitar teacher mainstay.
Oh, that's
guy,
right. I do know him. Yeah,
of Griggs, and I, you know, we always talked about this. Hey, it's going to be sometime I'm in Iowa. Let me do something at the store. We can hang, and it's going to be fun. And then when he got the okay from his, you know, the store, it was just let's do it. You know what I mean? So it's kind of exciting. So I'm going to be there just like I would do it for any store around the world, you know
right.
what I mean? But in this case, it's a special thing, obviously, because in a way, it's like part of my family, you know. So I'm excited to be there in Iowa, especially on behalf of some of my wonderful wife's family. So it'll be cool. Iowa people are great. They love rock and roll. And I know there's a lot of, you know, my fans live there. I've gotten reactions from some of the KISS fans that don't get to see me enough. So
it'll
be a really good crowd there. I'm looking forward to it.
I hope a lot of guys my age bring their kids that may be into guitar.
Yes,
because,
yes,
I mean, talk about a great way to keep someone motivated to keep practicing. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love how classic rock music makes a real impression on young people. And part of why I'm still very much part of this whole, you know, music community, and especially even my KISS years, is that KISS keeps getting handed down to their the Wild KISS couple get married, and then they have kids, and then they're sharing the KISS albums, and all of a sudden they're my fans, you know.
Sure.
It's not unlike the Beatles, really, if you think about it, how every generation comes and sees Paul McCartney, or even the Stones, you know.
Right.
It's classic rock. There's something just very, very delicious about it, shall I say.
Hey, Bruce, great catching up with you.
Hey, wonderful to be speaking to you, and I look forward to my trip to Iowa. It's coming soon.